good to be back this evening and be able to study from the Word of God. We're grateful to have those here with us this afternoon at a baptism, four baptisms today. Some people that was here with the Smith family obeyed the gospel, father, husband, wife, and children. And so we spent time this afternoon teaching the gospel. Amen. Still power in the gospel. So if you're here tonight, you're not a member of the Lord's church, then you need to obey the gospel before it's eternally too late. Amen. Jesus did suffer for us. We need to know that. And that he hung, bled, and died. And if you believe that with all your heart, there's power in the blood. Amen. It will save your soul. All right, tonight, this afternoon, it's a little loud. I think it's bumping down just a little bit. All right, the victims of cold blood. I've been doing this series called PTSD. You know it in the clinical sense or medical sense as post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm of the opinion that the world has post-traumatic spiritual disorder, which is a PTSD in of itself. It all happens to all of us in life, and I believe that if we get the spiritual in order, then it'll help the clinical for people who are really dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. So let me bring back the understanding of what we've talked about through the last few lessons, and one is that the understanding of how it all happens. When a person is hurt by someone, another person, whether it's in a relationship or whatever the case may be, that person then develops a sore or a sore that scabs over. And that sore requires healing. And so I talked about all that. And so the evidence is that this person is not healed will come from what I call the cold blood that flows from the sore or the trauma, or the travail, and that blood flows upon a trigger or something that reminds you that you were hurt by that other person. Then when you are hurt or you're going through the trauma that stressed you out, that post-traumatic stress is always post. It's never present. It's never in the future, it's always already happened to you. And so when the sore scab is pulled off the sore, then you start, if it hadn't been healed, then you start seeing cold blood coming from it, such as not speaking or cold-hearted treatment or cold comments or insensitive treatment, unforgiveness, neglect, or seeking revenge or retaliatory moves. And in the medical PTS, it's called hypervigilance, which occurs without thought that you are hurting somebody else with your actions. And so the person with post-traumatic spiritual disorder will only see black, and they call that PTSD in the clinical sense. They see blackness because they are in this hypervigilance mode or this constant tense or on guard that same event can occur again. It can hurt me again, so I'm in danger. Then the fear of being hurt again, the brain is in a constant alert and sometimes can result in inappropriate and even aggressive reactions to prevent the pain from occurring again. Now, I'm talking about wives who've been raped, husbands who've been cheated on by their wives, or children who've been molested, or a relationship where dad did you wrong, your father left you, all these kind of things that went on in your life that has traumatized you, that gave you pain, that sorts of there, that we all got something in our life like that. And we talked about how there's a dark side that we talked about last week, where when you are going, that cold treatment is coming from the dark side of this whole thing, and that is from Satan. Satan want to keep us all in that retaliatory cold blood flow. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Because Satan, in Luke 22:31, here's what my text is. Satan said, Jesus said to Simon, 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 behold
Satan had desire to have you
that he may what?
Sift you as wheat.
So Satan is intended to take your trauma, take your pain, and keep you on the dark side. And as long as you stay on the dark side, he's sifting you like wheat. And he knows if I keep you with the cold blood flowing, if I use this sword, the travail, the pain, whatever the person done to you that was wrong, that wronged you, that I will destroy your relationship with God, because I'm going to keep you in a vicious cycle of cold blood flows. You will continue like this. And Satan's hope is that you never get your spiritual life in order. He wants you to stay out of order. And so Satan keeps us in the dark side until we decide to walk in the light. And when you walk in the light, you can't continue the cold blood. A child, example, a child is traumatized by his daddy, and he see his daddy abuse his mother. Y'all follow me? So he had to hear that growing up, how my daddy abused my mother, and to hear his mama crying and responding, and it traumatized that child. That child was traumatized, but because now, when he grows up, because he was traumatized, he marries, and his wife becomes a victim of his trauma. Oh, y'all missed it. What I'm saying is that he gonna look like daddy, because he gonna be his wife, and she gonna be the victim of his trauma. You follow? He's like this because he has PTSD. He's stressed over what he grew up seeing from his daddy. Now he's reacting. He's doing it himself. And now his wife will become the one who will be traumatized, or his children will hear him beating his wife, and they will be traumatized. And so it becomes a vicious cycle. A cycle that only spiritual people can bring into order. How do we break the cycle of PTSD? Unspiritual people cannot break the cycle. Understand it's generational as well. What do you mean, Brother Brooke? If we don't stop it, it'll go from generation to generation to generation. In other words, I had to break the cycle and say my daddy was the daddy that was abusive. Then I became abusive. Then my son stopped becoming abusive. He breaks the cycle. When you look at the cycle, is a revolving door. It just continues until somebody stops. And what I'm teaching tonight is that when you look at PTSD, the post-traumatic spiritual disorder, there's a cycle. PTSD cycle of children being molested and growing up becoming molesters. The cycle of fathers being in prison, leaving single mothers traumatized to raise the children. PTSD cycle of young mothers raising children because that's what they saw growing up. And now the cycle continues. Without the children being traumatized because they don't have a daddy in the house or a mother to call mother. traumatized because mama not only was a, the children were throwaways by their own mama or neglected by their own children. PTSD cycle, children scarred for life, blaming themselves because mama and daddy are in divorces, court, or going through the cycle of what they heard day in and day out, what they saw growing up, traumatized the children, scarred them for life. Little boys, physically, mentally, and sexual abusers, because that's what they saw daddy doing, traumatized by it. Spiritual disorders. Children shuffled back and forth into homes, stepfathers and stepmothers, stepsisters and stepbrothers. And there's a cycle of even step-in husbands and step-in wives, if you think about it. Because a stepwife been neglected by her husband and abused by her husband, there comes a step-husband who takes care of her. Her trauma, cycle, people traumatized by life, children, husbands, wives, old and young, going through this, failed courtships and victims as a result of it, failed marriages, marital unfaithfulness, and its victims have all become victims of the cold blood. I'm coming to what that is here in a minute. PTSD cycle of marital neglect and all the victims that comes with it. PTSD cycle of marital abuse, verbal, mental, sexual, and its victims. PTSD cycle of children abused, molested, neglected, and all the victims associated. Church relationships and its victims are all related. One brother, sister, and churches are torn apart. Lives are torn apart because somebody has a spiritual disorder in that relationship. PTSD cycle of family relationship destroyed, and all the victims in the family as a result of somebody not having that has PTSD, which is a spiritual disorder. Broken friendships. People who don't speak to each other no more. Don't talk to each other. Can now all the cold blood won't speak, won't answer the phone, won't talk to them, don't have nothing to do with them because they've been traumatized. Question, why can't some of the cycles be broken? Are we all victims of someone else's trauma? We all can be victims, and we all can be the traumatizer. The only way we can help this is look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you a victim? Or have you been a victim of someone else's cold blood? Let me again describe cause and actions of cold blood caused by post-traumatic spiritual disorders. When one is hurt, the scab is there. Evidence takes place when the blood starts to flow. The cold acts start to come out. Not speaking. Don't have nothing to do with them. Cold-hearted treatment, cold comments, insensitivity, anger leading to wrath, the raising of voices, arguments, wishing harm, neglect, reminders of your damage, stabbing comments to remind you, pulling up your past to inflict more pain, put you in the trash, take you out the trash as if you have no value, not answering calls, wishing you were dead, hating you, ill feelings toward you, hateful treatment toward you, and the list goes on. But listen carefully. Here come the main point of the lesson today, which can be hard to understand if you have post-traumatic spiritual disorder. All of this will come from the person that's injured. It. This come from a person who was hurt. This come from a person who was traumatized. And with true clinical post-traumatic stress disorder, this person would not even give thought to what's happening to the other people around them who they would damage if they don't get treatment. And not only would they hurt themselves, they'll hurt others. You want to know why all this mass shooting and stuff is going on? PTSD. And when they're in this state of mind, they're on the head of a stress disorder, and this person would not even give thought to who I hurt, and I even hurt myself. This person who's been hurt will not give thought to what the other person who done the damage, who done the wrong to you, who was one who traumatized you. He was your rapist. He was your molester. He was your abuser. He was your cheater. He was the one that hurt you bad. But the victim of the cold blood that you are spewing out will be the same person that hurt you. It's a vicious cycle. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. The one who originally caused the trauma upon a desire to change, upon a desire to repent, upon a desire to ask for forgiveness, will feel abandoned, worthless, and even hopeless, because the person who won't forgive them is on the dark side of PTSD. Case study. The dark side. The spiritual disorder is called unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. The person who hurt you don't have a chance without forgiveness. The victim of your cold blood cannot survive without forgiveness. This person, a study on interview, and I've been doing those. When I was in Tennessee, I did some. Just interviewing people about the trauma, you know. You got people, you got, and their wives were running out crying. You know, I talk about how wives are married to men, and they've been in this relationship all this time. They're miserable. They just lay in the bed and do what they do. They're miserable. Stress. Some of their misery came from childhood because somebody molested them as a little girl, and now they can't fix it because something feels wrong even with my husband. And so the whole marriage is in trouble over what happened when they were young. Children who were being abused in the audience couldn't, in the end, in tears, because they were the one that was traumatized. And I was just pointing out all the trauma that goes on in lives of people. How many people are hurt because of others? But this person didn't know how to fix it. And they revealed to me that I don't believe I can be healed without understanding everything that happened in the post, in the past, between them and the person who Trump says, why, Daddy, did you do that? Why did you do that to me as a little girl? Why would you do that? I need to know the answer. Why did you rape me? Why did you cheat on me? I need to know the answer. That's the wife. That's the husband. Why? But remember, everything is in the past. It's post. And you're trying to bring post as the fix to now. And if I can understand post, then I can fix now. But let me tell you what happens. The sword cannot, in this person's mind, the sword could not be healed because there were too many unanswered questions. You follow me? Why did you do it? How did you do it? When did you do it? Who was it with? What did you say? I got to know all the answers. This was someone who was hurt by her husband, and she said, I just need to know the answers. So in reality, the one time traumatizing event that woman witnessed or experienced is not the only thing that was traumatizing that person. The questions that he or she had no answer to became trauma in itself. I'm reading it like I wrote it because it was an interview. And here's my assessment. The person, because it's post, they're trying to pull up an understanding of post-traumatic, trying to understand it. And so this person cannot heal because he or she cannot see themselves in the mirror because the one who traumatized them has a past in their mind that's filled with a lot of blanks, lies, deception, reasoning. Why did you hurt me? And it will not allow them to move on in life. In other words, they stuck in the past. The traumatized person will dig and dig and dig and dig for more and more and more and more information, knowing the more I know, the more I'm going to hurt. So their approach to healing is to know more about the pain of their past. Why? Cold blood is still flowing. Because the information is not to heal. There's more information that I need to know more. The intent is not to forgive, but to inflict pain on you because you hurt me. And the more I know, the more I can get you back. Why? Because you have a spiritual disorder. You trying to retaliate to make you feel better. That's spiritual disorder. I'm about to close. The spiritual disorder, unforgiveness, is one of the most dangerous sins in people's lives today. I really believe that. It generates speculation, accusation, unwillingness to let go of the past, the wrongs of the life of the person who traumatized you. It creates a desire to inflict deadly and often traumatizing retaliation. The spiritual disorder is called unforgiveness due to memory. Let me see it one more time. Unforgiveness due to what? Memory. What we have is a problem as human beings. The problem we have is memory. danger, listen to this, dangers involved in therapy of a person with clinical PTSD if they go back into the past, speculate, or they go back and dig up facts about what happened. I was talking to Brother Sean Evans. He was a military guy. Y'all know Sean, he came here to do the VA thing. He got the clinical PTSD and spiritual as we went through the study. He was one of my case studies. He had both. Didn't realize it. So did his wife. So he was sharing me how he was okay. And I can share his story. Matter of fact, as we write, I'm going to have his interview in there with it as we try to put the book together. Because I really think that the clinical PTSD can be helped by getting spiritual order. But anyway, he shared with me that he was doing good because he had been in Iraq and everything, and he was doing good with PTSD. He had got it under control. He was managing well. And one of his old comrades called him up and said, hey, Sean, man, I'm trying to get my, you know, he worked with VA. He said, I'm trying to get my disability, but, man, they need more information to determine if I got PTSD. He said, man, do you remember that time when, I'm trying to remember, help me with this. You remember when we had to pull the burned bodies out of the Humvee? And Sean said the moment he mentioned it, everything for him went back to the front line. All the things he saw in war came back to him because they dug up the past. And what I'm saying about people who can't forgive is because they're going to keep digging in the past. Because it's not intended, they're not trying to forgive. They're trying to find more retaliating, painful stuff. The symptoms are clear. What happened with PTSD is that, in the clinical side, is that it happens when they're reminded or they relive the trauma. For post-traumatic stress, spiritual disorder, we reliving or being reminded of the trauma in a sense is similar, however different. Anyone who cannot forgive, no matter how bad the trauma or pain that the other person called you, has a deadly spiritual disorder called unforgiveness. This person who has this disorder will hold hostage the person who hurt him. They will hold them hostage. The person who needs forgiveness becomes the victim. They hold them hostage. They do what Satan wants them to do. He's sifting them, trying to keep them in the darkness. He don't want them to forgive because he know that God's order is forgiveness. Amen. And his answer is, he knows, Satan knows, if I can keep you with a cold-blooded heart, you will be lost. Because you have a post-traumatic spiritual disorder. Now, Jesus said, Peter was dealing with something like this. He said, well, how many times do I forgive my brother? Listen to the Bible in Matthew 18, 21 as I close. Matthew 18, 21 and Matthew 6, 14. Listen to this. Take heed, he said to yourselves. Luke 8, Matthew 18, 21.
Then came Peter to
Peter
him
said,
and said, Lord,
Lord,
how often shall my brother sin against me?
Yeah.
And I forgive him.
Now, how often do I have to forgive these people?
Till this seven person? Times?
He said, now, seven times?
Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee,
nah,
until seven times, but until 70 times
nah,
seven.
Let's go ahead and multiply that thing. No, not seven times, Peter. 70 times what?
Seven.
Listen to Luke's account in Luke 17:3. He says, take heed to yourselves.
If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him.
And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day,
turn again to thee, saying, I repent, Jesus thou shalt forgive him.
If he hurt you seven times in one day, and he come back seven times that same day, you forgive him what? Seven times the same day. Mm. So what is Jesus teaching? Is he teaching how many times to forgive? No. Or he teaching capacity? I must be willing to forgive over and over and over again. Why, Brother Brooks? Get Matthew 16:6 and verse 14. Listen to this. Here's what Jesus said in this case. If ye forgive men their trespasses. You there? 14.
Which verse?
Matthew 6:14. Matthew 6:14.
Okay. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
But
if you forgive not men their trespasses.
If you forgive not, or if you do not forgive men. He didn't say just brothers in the church. That's not what he's. Jesus said, if you can't forgive men their trespasses,
neither will your Father
here's the
forgive
consequence.
Your trespasses.
Neither will. Now, you see why Satan want to keep us sifted? You see why he want to keep us on the dark side? Because he know if I can keep you right there, you will never forgive. And if you don't forgive, neither will your Father
forgive your trespasses.
God is saying, do to others no matter what they done to you. No matter how traumatizing it might have been, God is saying, you do for them what you asked me to do for you. Because you asked me over and over and over again. And I say yes over and over and over again. So how are you going to not give someone else that I gave my son to die for the forgiveness of sins, and then have the audacity to ask me to forgive you over and over and over? Makes sense to me. So let me close. Forgiveness equates, you got three things. You got justice, mercy, and grace. If a person being molested or been abused or been raped or whatever, or a husband had cheated on him, a man, a wife done cheated, whatever the case, whether the pain was, or the brother at the church did you wrong, the sister did you wrong, whatever happened that traumatized you, did you have this trauma in your life? If we were not children of God, justice demands they get paid back for what they did, don't it? You deserve it. You deserve cold treatment because of what you done. Mercy says, well, even though you deserve it, I'm going to give you a break and try to love you anyway. I said try. Because some people say they love you, but soon you pull the scab off, nothing but cold blood come back up. They never did forgive you. They never forgave you. They never forgave you. But you got some mercy. Because they start back speaking to you a little, you know, keeping you in their line to give you some mercy, right? And then you have the other thing called grace. I love you whether you deserve it or not. That's how God does it. There's a man in the house. He comes home from work. He comes home from work and he runs into the house. He sees his house on fire. He runs in. He knows his wife and his daughter's inside the house. So he runs in to rescue them. And out on the way into the house, here come a man out of the house, running out of the house. And he's seen him going, but he thought about his wife and his daughter inside the house. And the house don't fly. He go try to rescue him. He get in there. He see his wife has been raped and killed. His daughter been raped and killed. And the man came to man. So he turned to run to get the man. He get the man, get to the road. And the man was hit by the car when he was crossing the street. And he's bleeding profusely. He's dying. And the husband of the wife that he raped, the father of the daughter that he killed, he stands over the man who did the damage. And he stood over him. He said, "You killed my wife and my daughter. You raped them both. Justice demand that I let you die." And then he stood over and said, "But mercy says, even though you deserve it, I'm going to stop the bleeding. But grace would say, I'm going to stop the bleeding whether you deserve it or not." Conditional. Mercy can be taken back. Grace is final. That's what Jesus did on the cross. "I died not because you deserved it. I died because whether you deserved it or not." That's what God's grace do for us. So where many people are held hostage by their own loved ones, because they won't forgive them. This thing about unforgiveness, one of the greatest traumas in the lives of people. Many people are victims of cold blood because cold-hearted people can't forgive. And they keep them in a cage like a bird with the power to open the door and let the victim fly free. You keep the door cage closed and find more to remind them of what you've done. Stay in the cage, because I got post-traumatic spiritual disorder. But when you get it together spiritually, what you do? You do what God did for you. What did God do, y'all? He opened the door and let you fly free. What do we do for the people who hurt us? What we do? Open the door and let them fly. Here's a catch. There'll always be memory, because God leave the memory to remind us that you too need to fly free. I believe he leaves us to remember and remind us that you need me just like they need you. So you remember what they did to you because you did it to me. Every time we sin against God. And we all need to be reminded of the grace of God. But even though we were doubt sin, we understand, rather that God commended his love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Unforgiveness disorder results in, if not forgiven, the victim, the cold-blooded person who did the wrong or traumatized the other person, can never be free from the wrongs of their past. It'll always haunt them. It is due to the pain caused by you. So what do you do when you know you hurt somebody? And here's how you fix it. If I need you to forgive me, what God expects me to do is to say, "Andrew, I wronged you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." That's all he asks. When you wrong somebody, you ask him to forgive you. Admit you're wrong. And the person that's spiritual can forgive you based on the confession and asking for forgiveness. Ain't that what we do to God? What we do, he said, confess your fault and ask for forgiveness. When you have a spiritual disorder, and some of you in this room do, you can't let go of the post, but it's killing your eternal life. Spiritual disorder will cause you to lose your soul. I encourage you tonight to think about yourself. Are you a victim of someone else's cold blood? Or are you one? Just flowing cold blood in the people that need forgiveness are your victims. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. His son was traumatized. His son went through a travail. The father watched it all happen for us. He hung between two thieves with nails in his hands and his feet after being beaten. Crown of thorns on his head. Suffered for us to give us this freedom to be freed from the cage of sin. And what he says, to go in the world and preach the gospel. Tell them about how my son suffered, bled, and died for him. If they believe it, baptize him. Mark 16:15-16. And that's what we do. We preach this gospel because we all know we need that forgiveness, don't we, y'all? And that's why I came to Jesus. Because I needed that. I need the forgiveness of my past. And that's what baptism is for. The remission or the forgiveness of sin. What do we do as spiritual people? We look toward Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look with a future look at what we must do in order to be pleasing to our God. And doing that, we keep a spiritual focus on how to deal with the post-traumas. We keep spiritual order and relieve the stress of the post. I believe when a person has got their life together spiritually, what happened in their past, they can manage it without stress. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Spiritual order is the answer to stress disorder. That's what I believe. Because now I got God in my future, and he forgives my past. He don't want us living back there. He wants us focused on what's better, and that is a life with him eternally. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, you hear the gospel as I taught it tonight. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Then you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And after that, the Lord will add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, which is the only church you read about in the Bible. Of course, if you're here tonight and you're going through something, sometimes these kind of sermons, we don't want nobody to know I'm going through. But let me say this. I had that on my, ain't a one of us in here, they ain't have some of this going on in our life. Trauma comes with life. That was the beginning of it. It's called the sore travail. It's coming. It's just a matter of how you're going to deal with it. You deal with it with God, or you can deal with it without God. But it's coming. You have post-traumatic. You don't have to have spiritual disorder. But you will have post-trauma. No way around it. If you're here tonight, you need prayer. Don't let this stop you. Praying, you need prayer. You make confession. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to be baptized. We want you to do that. As together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.